Good morning, Wisconsin. Welcome to WFHR's Morning Show. Got your host, James, behind the mic. I am joined by Melissa Kay.
Good morning.
Seth Habagger.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for joining us, everybody, kicking your week off with us. We got entertainment news on the way for you. Got some other fun topics we're going to get to as well. Looking forward to diving into every single one of these with all of you. Going to be a lot of fun. But it's a Monday in the 9 o'clock hour. You know what that means. Tell me something
good. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Kitchen's Open, now that my microphone's on, on WFHR for this Monday, December 9th, which just happens to be National Pastry Day.
Pie, pie, pie. We get to talk about pie.
Calm down over there. Pastries cover so much more than just pie. Oh.
Yeah, there's certainly, like
tarts and cream puffs, scones, quiche. This really is a whole genre of food that some chefs specialize in making.
Okay. I guess I can expand my palate a bit and talk about more than just pie.
Well, thank you for your openness. I did a little bit of digging and was fascinated to find out that pastry didn't originate in France, which is the style of pastry I'm most familiar with. Claire Gazard has a wonderful article on greatbritishchefs.com, which shares, as usual, many of the greatest creations in the world can be traced back to ancient and classical times. Utilizing the natural sweeteners available, it is believed that the ancient Egyptians, Greeks, and Romans all used a phyllo type pastry, a simple mix of flour and oil, to create honey cakes, fruit pastries, sweet tarts, and dumplings stuffed with dates and nuts. Evidence of these sweet treats can be seen on ancient tomb paintings or mentioned in writings, such as in the comic plays of Aristophanes.
Ah, the land of my ancestors. They weren't the only ones to use this type of baking, though. The article continues, the Romans created a basic pastry dough that was used as a covering for meats when cooking. The plain paste of flour, oil, and water were used as a shield to keep the meat moist and also protected the outside from burning. It was never meant to be eaten and was subsequently discarded. It seems that the main factor holding back ancient bakers, they were not wanting for ingenuity or creativity, was the lack of butter or lard to create the richness we associate with pastries today.
It isn't until the medieval era that we start to have pastry that more resembles what we make today. That's when they began to make crust for
pie.
Yes.
Pie. Yes. Gazard shares, the form of curry is the earliest known English language cookbook, thought to have been written at the end of the 14th century, and it refers to the making of chestletes, interesting, and coffins. Okay. Early pies and tart cases. Oh, coffins. Okay, yeah. I get it. A lot of these early recipes, particularly through the 15th century, included egg yolks and saffron to add color to the dough.
It's not until the 17th century that we start to see pastry taking a decorative turn. In the same article, Gazard says, British bakers prided themselves on techniques and elaborate decorations used for their creations and were inspired further by the culinary developments happening across the channel. Puff pastry was supposedly created by French painter and apprentice cook Claude Gallet in about 1645 when he accidentally created a laminated dough when trying to make a form of rolled butter cake for his sick father. The earliest British version recorded is from 1962 with a handwritten manuscript describing Hannah Biscare's recipe for puffed paste, which tells the reader to, quote, lay some butter in little pieces over the flour dough before folding and rolling three times.
Oh, some of the best things are made by mistake, I'm telling you. Errors make the great stuff.
They do.
This is the argument I have made with my mother my whole life. Every time, this time of year, she's in there and she's making her Christmas cookies and everything, and I'm just in there just throwing stuff together. just smashing things, because you never know. Every great pastry, 90% of the greatest cooking inventions happened on accident. So I'm just trying to make something happen.
Notice, though, he did start with a known recipe. He just adapted it.
That's really good, Beth. Yeah. I'm going to write that down. I didn't try that part. Okay.
I also find that it's interesting that it started, if you think of phyllo dough, like what you would have in baklava, it's very, very thin. So it goes from something being very, very thin to something big and elaborate in what they used to do.
Right.
So the first chef to become famous was actually a pastry chef.
Ooh.
Gazzard writes, French pastry master Marie-Antoinette Carême, who lived from the 1784 to 1833, is widely considered to be the first celebrity chef, bringing pastry into the world of grand cuisine. His elaborate creations graced the windows of his Paris pastry shop before he went on to cook for European leaders, including George IV. The glamour and splendor associated with these rich buttery confections helped grow the popularity of French pastry desserts as the epitome of fine dining.
So pastry started in Egypt, spread through the Roman Empire, and took off in Western Europe and England. When did it make its way across the pond?
Well, according to PastryTeamUSA.com, the early American pastry scene was shaped predominantly by European settlers, particularly those from England, France, and the Netherlands. These settlers brought with them traditional baking techniques and recipes, laying the foundation for what would become American pastry. And there are different things that each one of these cultures brought. So, for instance, English baking traditions heavily featured pies, tarts, and puddings, which were integral to daily meals and festive occasions alike in England. Pies, in particular, are you listening, Seth?
I'm listening.
Were a versatile dish, enjoyed both sweet and savory.
That's right. So versatile. Versatile, that pie.
In America, settlers continued this tradition, adapting recipes to incorporate local ingredients and regional tastes. Another significant contribution of English baking traditions to early American pastry was the love for custards and cream-based desserts. Custards, typically made with eggs, milk, and sugar, were used in a variety of pies and tarts. Simple custard pies became a staple in American kitchen, offering a creamy and comforting dessert that appealed to both English settlers and their descendants. Some of those pies include, believe it or not, the pumpkin pie is considered a custard pie because of egg base that it has. And I have a pie recipe that has been handed down for a couple of generations in my family that has been used to make cherry custard pie or rhubarb custard pie. And I've now adapted it to be cranberry custard pie. So that the pies and those fillings are very versatile. So the article continues, one of the most enduring contributions of the French settlers to American pastry is the technique for making pâte à choux, or choux pastry. This versatile dough is characterized by its unique method of cooking on the stovetop before being mixed with eggs to create a light, airy pastry. In America, this technique was adapted to create beloved pastries such as profiteroles, cream puffs. How many of us have seen that at the State Fair?
Yeah, that's right.
And something that my mom used to make at home, eclairs. I am a huge eclair fan. Which became popular desserts across our country. The introduction of pâte à choux marked a shift towards more intricate and delicate pastry techniques in American baking. French settlers also brought with them the tradition of tarts and flans, which are characterized by their delicate pastry shells and rich, often creamy fillings.
Wiggly jiggly flans.
So, not only fun to eat, fun to say. And fun to watch. In America, bakers adapted French tart recipes to incorporate local fruits and ingredients such as berries, apples, and citrus fruits. This adaptation allowed for the creation of seasonal pastries that showcase the abundance of North American produce while maintaining the French tradition of using high-quality pastry techniques. But remember, there were settlers from the Netherlands, and the Dutch had their say, too. So the Dutch settlers, particularly, if I could speak this morning, that would be great, particularly in New York. Originally, remember, it was called New Amsterdam.
Old New York. What? Okay.
It's going to be in my head all morning.
Thank you. They might be giants. Made significant contributions to American pastry with their hearty and straightforward baking style. Their culinary traditions rooted in Northern European baking techniques left a lasting impact on the American desserts, influencing the development of several iconic treats that are still enjoyed today. Dutch settlers introduced the concept of cookies to America, which literally were simple, spiced, and buttery treats. The Dutch word cookies translates to little cakes, reflecting their small, cake-like nature. Over time, these early cookies evolved into a wide variety of forms and flavors, such as gingerbread, speculoos, spiced shortcake biscuits, and butter cookies, which became staples in American baking and are enjoyed year-round. The Dutch brought with them recipes for fried donuts.
Oh, donuts.
Known as oilykoeks, or oily cakes.
Gotcha.
These early donuts were small, fried balls of dough that were often flavored with nutmeg and other spices. The concept of frying dough in oil was adapted and refined by American bakers, leading to the development of the classic American donut. Over time, donuts became a popular treat enjoyed at breakfast, during coffee breaks, and at various social gatherings across the country.
Take a breath.
That was a lot of info. I got to say, though, I am very sad. I'm very sad now that Melissa can say that cookies are just little cakes, and now she's got another thing in her arsenal. That's just not fair. Yeah, that's not fair.
I just would like to take this time to thank the Dutch.
Yes.
That's all I got.
Yes.
That's all I got. Thank you, Dutch.
Cookies
thank
and you donuts. So much. And speaking of donuts, a variety of donut is called the Kroller. Mm-hmm. And I happened to find some and bring some in. So we've got a little taste test this morning with our kitchens open.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for doing that, Beth, by the way. Where'd you find those? They aren't that easy to find as far as my dad
finds. They were actually at Pick and Save.
Cool.
You can find a lot of cool things. And we've got so many great donuts shops and bakeries in town. You can find a lot of these pastries. And today's a good day to go explore maybe a bakery you haven't been to.
Yes.
And find something like this. So what are the different types of pastries? You know, we've talked about pies, we've talked about cakes, we've talked about donuts, and what should they be used for? Because different doughs are better for different things. So according to Eridus, a market-leading source of accurate allergy, nutritional, and technical product data populated by the food industry, Eridus.com shared the different types of pastry are... Show pastry is best for, and we talked about this, came from France. Many French pastry desserts, including show little puff pastries, proliferoles, croquem bruchés.
We don't have any French listeners, do we?
No, I hope not. Eclairs, beignets, and Saint Jorge cake. The traditional Spanish, Portuguese, and Mexican fried dessert churros are also made using show pastry. Timing and precision is everything when it comes to show pastry. Make sure all of the butter has been melted into the water and that the liquid has sufficiently reached boiling point before you add the flour. Another type is phyllo. Balkan and Middle Eastern desserts such as baklava or borek, phyllo pastry can also be used to make small parcels with fillings such as spinach and feta cheese. Because the dough is made using only flour and water, phyllo pastry can be dry. Brushing the dough with melted butter will not only prevent this, but it will keep the thin layers of pastry separate so that they are flaky and not clumped together. Flaky is another type of pastry. Sausage rolls are famously made with flaky pastry, and are many pastries, plates, and other sweets and savory pastries. It's important for flaky pastry to be very cold before it goes into the oven. Cold butter here is key, and it's the water content of the butter that leads to the flaky layers. And then there's hot water crust pastry. Guess what that's good for?
Pies!
Hot water crust pastry is especially famous for making pork pies, but it can also withstand heavy and
viscous.
Thank you. My mouth is not working this morning. Or viscous filling, like meat and gravy or stewed fruit, without becoming soggy. You can use either lard or butter as the fat in hot water crust pastry, but a mixture of the two is best, as the former adds flavor and the latter adds a silkier texture.
Cool.
Puff pastries, which is good for pie lids, tarts, tartlets, beef Wellington, cheese straws, canapes.
They're called lids. I just love that.
It's one of the most versatile pastries around. Heat is crucial to puff pastry. It's the evaporating of the water in the butter that causes the puff. So the oven must be hot enough. Make sure the oven has been preheated sufficiently, at least 15 minutes before the pastry goes in. Short crust is another type of pastry, and this pastry is used for many different dishes thanks to its versatility. It's often used as the base of a tart or quiche and is also used for pies, both sweet like apple or savory like chicken and mushroom. Do not overwork the dough. You should roll it as little as possible because any sort of handling or warming will elongate the gluten strands in the flour and make the dough tough. And the last kind of pastry is suet crust pastry. Suet crust pastry is the best choice for dumplings and naturally suet pudding. It can be used for meat pies. Suet crust pastry needs more water in the mixture than other types of pastry, so don't be afraid to keep adding more liquid so long as it's only a few drops at a time.
Mm-hmm. Man, mm-hmm. Who knew? Who mm-hmm. knew there were so many different types of pastry yeah. crust? My goodness.
You know, we think pastry, we all have like pies and tarts mm-hmm. and things like that, maybe Danishes on our mind, and mm-hmm. it's so much more. There's so much that you can do with so many different types of dough.
Yeah.
It's so good. Can't stop eating.
Yeah.
Can't stop eating.
But we'd love to highlight a business or restaurant during this segment and in the weekly newsletter article about this show.
If you're interested in more information about how to make that happen, just give us a call, 715-424-1300, 423-1300. That's 715-423-1300. Speak with Pam. She'll put you in touch with Ashley, work out the details, and get you on the air with us.
Indeed.
That number again is 424-1300.
Mm-hmm.
I had a typo in there. 424-1300. And with that, we'll close the kitchen.
All right. Wow.
Another great work. Another
so
great
much
one,
information.
Beth. Appreciate you, Beth. Thank
I
you so much.
I did not expect to learn this much about pastry when I went looking.
That's really cool.
It's pretty cool. It's
yeah.
really cool. And just it makes all of us very hungry, as the segment usually does.
Yep.
Be listening next Monday at 9 o'clock hour for another edition of The Kitchen's Open with Beth. We'll be back with more show here on The Morning Show at WFHR.
Tell me something good.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show at WFHR. Little Diana Carroll.
Mm-hmm.
Sleigh Ride playing us in. Oh, I love her voice.
Just hear those sleigh bells jingling, ring, ting, tingling too. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you.
How a voice can be soft and delicate while so strong,
mm-hmm.
like, and so enunciated.
It's an amazing, I mean, I don't know how she does it. It's really remarkable.
One of my favorite people really to hear from in sports is Bomani Jones. Mm. Has been for a long time. He's one of the most intelligent people in all of media. And he talks about music a lot, too. And apparently he's a huge, huge Christmas music fan.
Really?
And he was talking about musicians the other day as we get into our entertainment section. Mm-hmm. And he just randomly kind of brought up the greatest singers of all time. And he brought up Chuck Berry. And I never heard that before about Chuck Berry. But he started talking about him and saying how every word you could understand from Chuck Berry.
Yep.
How well he enunciated.
Mm-hmm.
And now I can't stop thinking about it with singers. I've gone this long in my life and never thought once about enunciating as a singer. And now I see the importance of it so much mm-hmm. in such like, not just the singers that are popular, but I'm talking about the ones that are respected.
Yep.
Almost every one of them are great at this. And now mm-hmm. I can't not hear it. Like it's such an awesome, interesting note. I thought I've never heard of
that pretty cool.
before.
It is cool, but then we lose out on all those. What were those lyrics? I'm just going to make them up myself. I don't care what the singer said. This yeah. is what I believe
they
it says.
They slur everything together, so it's like you have no idea. Hey, yeah.
God, I love that. That's a wonderful point. Yeah, they're so right, Melinda. as we get into our entertainment section here, I just wanted to put a quick note out there that the isn't that special? The church lady is back.
Oh, no.
Dana Carvey is back, really. That's
okay.
what really has happened. While you watch the introduction of SNL and they give you the not ready for primetime players, the current cast and everything, mm-hmm. his face will not show up. Dana Carvey has pretty much been there every show this season.
Really?
And I love that. Dana Carvey, for those that didn't know, had a real kick in his career, had some health issues that were not mm-hmm. his fault, and really slowed down his career and really stopped his career. Mm-hmm. And he's been trying to get back ever since. moments.
Right.
And has had a lot of difficulty doing this, not mm-hmm. just as an older actor, but just as, you know, a comedian.
Right. Right.
It's difficult. If there's one thing that never gets talked about with Lorne Michaels, it's his loyalty.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody seems to bring this up when in an industry where there is no loyalty, there is none. This is a man who has it, has integrity, has loyalty to his people. Right. And Dana Carvey's been being brought on, even though he hasn't had to be. They've got a billion actors they could be pulling from. They've been bringing Dana on. Because to be honest about it, there is no 401k for actors.
Right.
This is Dana's retirement plan.
Right.
He's working right mm-hmm. now. And I'm glad he is.
Yeah. You know, it's funny that even people he fires, meaning Lorne Michaels, they still always come back.
Yeah.
Even in a different form. They'll come back and do the show.
Except for one name. Now, there's a list of cast mm-hmm. members that have, you know, not that many, but there are some that have not, you know, ended their time at SNL that
right,
well and everything. Mm-hmm. And it kind of said some things here mm-hmm. and there or whatever. But only out of all of the actors, the big names to come out of there, Chevy Chase is the only one there is there is still, even to this day, that kind of like egos in the way of just, you know.
Burned getting, bridges. That one was burned completely.
Completely.
Yeah.
There is. Chevy's on an island all by himself now because he is over the decades and decades has burned so many bridges where he's just got no friends in the game anymore. But I think it's very cool to see Dana Carvey back. That's a great one.
I know he's kind of got a somewhat popular podcast with David Spade too, I believe, that I've seen around. So
I would say that's one of those ones I see in the top 20 mm-hmm. all the time. So it's very popular. And it's so cool to me to think of some of these characters getting a chance to come back.
Mm-hmm.
I really hope that they can get Kevin Nealon on at some point and do the Hans and Franz. I want to see that. You know, for younger generations to get a little taste of these characters and see what it was back in the day. Mm-hmm. When's the last recurring character SNL has truly had? They've been trying.
It's been a long time.
They keep doing this thing. This current writer's group is not bad, and the actors are great, but they keep trying to like do these same sketches. They just change a couple words about them. And they're doing a lot of singing sketches that are not landing well. I really hope that they tune that in the next half here when they take their Christmas break and everything.
And this is from a SNL fan here, man. He knows what he's talking about.
There's a few things I can actually say are my wheelhouse. This is one of them. I'm not a big Coldplay guy, but I'm a fan of this. Coldplay released their video for All My Love this weekend, and it is a must-see because it features singing and dancing from 98-year-old Dick Van Dyke.
Oh,
Dick will be 99 on Friday, which is Friday the 13th. And the video also includes featured clips from his long legendary career, plus a little interview segments.
Oh, really?
In one of them, he says, quote, "I'm acutely aware that I could go any day now, but I don't know why it doesn't concern me. I'm not afraid of it. I have that feeling, totally against anything intellectual, that I'm going to be all right."
Wow.
That's really cool.
I don't know if I've ever heard anybody word it for me personally, more beautiful.
Quite like that.
I've never heard it like that. And I'll never unhear that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The end of the video is the best part. It's just Dick and Chris Martin sitting at a piano, and Dick is asked to name a good subject for his song, and he says old age. And Chris writes the song right there on the spot, which is All My Love.
Oh, that's cool.
I don't know if I've ever done this before, but a shout out to Coldplay for doing this.
That's really neat.
That is
a great idea.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, younger generations getting the idea and seeing what a true, complete entertainer is.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that doesn't exist. There's tons of them out there nowadays. There's a lot of great entertainers.
But they're like, there was a select few who just, for whatever reason, had it. You know, they could not only do it all, but they did it with style and class and Mm-hmm.
Well, and I talk about this with my students all the time. There are legends in the game right now. There are amazing actors all around and have been for decades. But there aren't the legends of old. The ones that there's a difference of when you watch the actors that came from vaudeville to screen.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see actors nowadays. Mm-hmm. There's a gigantic difference. And it just there's no way to recreate that. You had to have it happen at the time. You had people figuring out a new medium while also trying to incorporate what they did for decades and centuries, really, on the stage.
I'm telling you, that experience of being on vaudeville every night, of being on stage, I mean, what train that training isn't there anymore.
Yeah,
that no. for entertainers, they just it's just not there. There's no venue for it.
Yeah. Legend. Yep. Legend. And so happy to still be talking here in 2024 about Dick Van Dyke.
Absolutely.
That's so awesome, man. That's so cool. I wanted to just touch on what's new on your small screen real quick here. Monday Night Football, Dallas Cowboys, Cincinnati Bengals.
Snorefest.
Oh, man. Good luck. You are either living. That'll be big in Dallas and Cincinnati. That's about it. The Voice on NBC, part one of the live finales, is on. And the two-hour special, The Best Christmas Movies Ever, on CW. That should be an interesting one. What We Do in the Shadows, NCIS, and all of those are on there too. But I wanted to get to not only this awesome new podcast that I heard about called What the Muppet. Bree and I are wrapping up season two. We've only got a handful of episodes left, and after that, we're going to be taking a bit of a hiatus. Not sure when we'll be back, but we do hope to be back. I do want to let everybody know that our Instagram page, Bree, is still running that 24/7. That is still be going strong. We put together our top five Muppets of all time. This is the second half of that.
Ooh, man, that must have been tough.
Incredibly tough.
So tough it had to be in two podcasts.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Two-parter.
And as people who have had to work with me for years, you guys can guess why it was turned into two episodes.
Uh-huh.
But I will say real quick, one of the things that I thought was kind of fun about this, that whether you listen to the podcast or not, you can play along at home with. I was trying to figure out why I was struggling with this. And it's not just because I got my top five. I got my number one Muppet easy. Yeah. I got that taken care of.
Right.
Why was I having such a hard time with this? And it's because I think that this is something the list I would have made when I was seven and the list that I make at 47 are very different.
Mm.
When I'm a kid, the Muppets that I like are very different than the Muppets that I ended up, loving and having a perspective of as an adult.
Right.
So I encourage people, if you're going to do this, to have some fun with it. What list you would make when you were seven and what you would do when you're older as an adult.
There you go. Makes sense.
Two very different lists. Right. Very different lists. And it turns out you can't put Grover and Super Grover on the list. It doesn't count, apparently. Apparently, that
there's rules.
Count.
Rules.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that. We got a lot of great local events coming up. We will be touching on those at the end of the show. We'll be getting all that and plenty more. Right now, it's time for a news break. Take care of our partners and more on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show at WFHR. All right. I like it.
Yeah.
Ibrahim Maalouf.
Or Maalouf.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah. This is pretty good. I like it. Seth had an artist here on the bumpers that he had to show me because I've never heard of this artist before, and they have a quite unique last name.
Yes, Maalouf.
Yeah.
I'm guessing it's, I don't know. I mean, that's a name that, like you said, has been pronounced like eight ways from Sunday. So I don't know exactly how to pronounce that version of it, but it's still cool that I... It's like, oh wow, that's neat.
So in the Middle East, Maalouf is a bit of a popular name, but it's been because of the some of the issues out that way, you could say.
Right.
When the Maalouf tribe, wherever it might have originated, moved to Syria or Egypt or some of the other areas over there, they changed the spelling of it. And my whole life, people have shown me like messages of people with they spell it Maalouf, O-U-F is the way we spell it. Mm-hmm. They spell it with two O's. I've never seen it with two A's.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
It's very curious. You got to find out more about that.
Yeah, I got to look where that's from. We know where this one's from. A 76-year-old retired woman in New York named Bebe Corey once had personalized license plates that paid tribute to Star Trek. They were NCC 17-1701, which was the name of the USS Enterprise Starship. That was a while ago, though. She stopped driving 4 years ago when she surrendered her license and sold her car. But she's been getting tons of traffic tickets in the mail.
Oh, no.
From all over the country for all kinds of stuff. Running red lights, speeding, parking violations, easy pass tolls. The problem is that there are fake novelty Star Trek plates being sold online with her old plate number.
Oh no.
The NCC-1701.
Right, yeah.
People are putting them on their vehicles, and it's tricking the traffic cameras and parking enforcement.
Oh, no.
And of course, using those fake plates is illegal. They should be easy to detect for the police, which is happening as we speak.
Yes.
But that's only half the problem. Why is Beta getting the tickets? Well, the New York DMV says it's not their problem because nothing in their system connects Beba to her former plate. The DMV adds that's up to each state and billing company to make sure it is using the most up-to-date data.
Uh-huh.
Not the old records.
Uh-huh.
But this poor lady is paying consequences of that.
Right. And they say people using fake novelty plates is a matter of for law enforcement. Mm-hmm. So everybody is basically just pushing the can across.
Yeah, you take it.
Mm-hmm.
Not my fault, your fault.
All these tickets have been stressing Beba out because they total in the tens of thousands.
Jeez.
And she's tried responding to the organizations in various states, but they keep coming in the mail.
Mm. Oh, man.
And Beta is concerned that these fines could go to collectors or cause other problems,
right,
especially since she's a fixed income.
Mm-hmm.
Good grief.
Fortunately, now that the story is going viral, several lawmakers and a pro bono lawyer have pledged to help her out.
Thank goodness.
Yeah.
Wow.
And a real quick side note to this, because I keep mentioning this, and I'm doing it on purpose this time of year, as we encourage so many to give to our nonprofits in this area and support local and everything. And people are very careful with their money, and understandably so.
Mm-hmm.
They want to give, they want to do good, but they want to be, I want to know that it's going to the right places.
Exactly.
It's helping out the places I want to and all of that. One of the smartest marketing industries in the world are attorneys. Attorneys are incredibly good at this. Mm-hmm. They are very smart at this, and they are on the forefront oftentimes of marketing. You can make fun all you want about the chasing of the ambulances and all that.
Right.
But what's an industry that has stayed steady throughout decade after decade after decade? It's the law. It's attorneys.
Yep.
And it's not just that type of attorney. We're talking all kinds of attorneys because of the way that they market their industry. And one of the smartest things they do is pro bono work. Pro bono work. It is something, I'm just telling any businesses out there doing these kind of things, the attachment they have made to this case, they will be in the black by their next fill.
Right.
Because of this. It's just a smart marketing thing.
It is. It is very smart. You're right.
We make fun of attorneys and lawyers all the time. But as somebody who comes from a family of some of these, I'm telling you, man, they are very smart about this.
Yep.
And you know who else gets a really bad rap all the time? The DOT.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They really could jump on this and turn that around if they were smart.
Absolutely.
Right.
Well, absolutely.
There's something about this that seems okay. So basically, if this license plate number is coming, she's getting all these citations and everything from all across the country. That tells me there's like one clearinghouse that all of this information is coming from.
Yeah.
If it's all, that means that they are all sending it to her, because that's like, it's one spot that it's going to.
Yeah.
And, what is that?
And I misspoke. Not the DOT, the DMV.
Oh, sorry. Yes.
Wrong acronym.
Yeah, we know what you meant.
I said the wrong acronym. But you're correct, Seth. It all goes through there. It should, right?
I think my dyslexia can actually do that with like what I'm hearing now too, because I thought that's what you said, Melissa. I'm so sorry.
That's I mean, that's
DOT,
good,
DMV,
I guess.
They're close.
Listen to what I mean, not what I say.
It's just I feel for that lady. I will be keeping an eye on that story, see how that develops.
Here's hoping they get that figured out.
Yeah, here's hoping for that one. We will get into the here are some quote collectors items you can stop collecting. We'll get into that on our next show together.
Okay, all right.
We will be hanging out this Friday together. We'll get into that on Friday. For now, what does it take to be successful? How much do you have to make in order to, quote, feel successful these days? The number is insane, and you can blame plenty of things for that.
Mm-hmm.
The financial planning poll found the average American would need to earn around $270,000 a year to feel financially successful. That's just one person, by the way. That's not your total income of your household.
Wow.
It's more than four times what the average American makes, and it's mainly because young people have some wild expectations, according to this list.
Mm-hmm.
The average boomer said that they'd need just about $100,000 to feel successful. For Gen Xers and millennials, it's up to $200,000. And for Gen Zers, it's $588,000 a year.
Wow.
So whatever the number is, here are the top four paths to success according to the survey. Number four, luck. 51% of them believe that luck is part of the reason of being successful.
I have to agree. Yeah. I think luck has a lot to do with it.
It does.
Yeah. Number three, who you know. 55%. Oh, so nepotism or yep, some yep, of that.
Exactly.
Of that.
Connections are so important.
Mm-hmm. Number two.
Go hand in hand with luck.
Mm-hmm.
Talent. 65% say talent is yeah. a big part
it,
of this.
It helps. It really does. Mm-hmm. It sure does. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Goes a long way.
At least after you get, you know, it helps after, you know, you get your, you luckily, you know, get offered a job with someone your parents know.
You're right.
If you have yep. talent, at least you can keep it then.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. And hard work. 84% put it in the top three. Now, how much the hard work and talent mean when you don't have the other two, I don't know.
That's a great point.
I say as a struggling actor.
Well, I mean, it is. What is it? I get it. People still think, you know, work hard and you will be rewarded. Okay. But the numbers we're talking about here, there's a disconnect here mm-hmm. between, you know, $500,000. I mean, Gen Z, $500,000. Yeah, you can work hard for a long time and not get anywhere close to that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I think success is what you make it. I think yeah. success is what it is to you, and I think it's a case-by-case thing. And what it means for you to be successful. I think of my mom and dad. Mm-hmm. And they didn't dream they'd ever be able to retire. They're both right now sitting back, retired, mm-hmm. probably not listening to the show. No, they are there. but they could not feel more successful.
That's good.
Could not feel more accomplished mm-hmm. and achieved. Now, it doesn't mean that they're satisfied. It doesn't mean that they were satisfied. I think there's a big difference of being satisfied mm-hmm. and feeling successful. You can have both. But as far as that, teach their own. And you're chasing money. I don't know if you'll ever be happy.
Yeah, that's the problem because it's not going to get you.
That's
what
an
you
opinion,
think it is.
By the way. That's yeah. an opinion.
I subscribe to wholeheartedly. with you on that one.
I will say, regardless of who you know or how lucky you might feel you are, keep at it. Hard work is what the difference maker of most things
you
in
know,
life.
You know, sometimes hard work is good in and of itself. The satisfaction in a job well done. Yeah. You know, sometimes that's all you really need.
Because if you work super, super hard and you do nothing else, you'll have no time to think about how miserable you are and how you can't pay your bills.
Works for me. No, I'm just kidding.
James' life plan there. Yeah, I don't know.
You're giving away the signal.
Well, it would be nice if everyone could have their needs met first, though.
Yeah.
I'll just throw that out there. Yeah. That'd be nice. Yeah. That'd be nice. Yes.
We will take a quick time out. We'll come back with some good stories of the day. We've also got a bunch of great local events to touch on. It's Melissa, Seth, and James taking you through your Monday morning here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR.
Out of all the reindeers, you know you're the mastermind. Run, run, Rudolph. Randolph ain't too far behind.
Can hear every syllable of his words.
Run, run, Rudolph. Santa's got to make it to town.
I have one question, though. Who's Randolph?
Oh, Randolph.
Randolph is right behind. What is he? What are you talking about, Chuck?
Backup singer. Backup singer. Backup reindeer.
Backup reindeer.
The reindeer that didn't make the cut.
Yeah, it's Randolph.
Yeah. Easily my favorite Christmas song. God, I love this song. It's great. We got some good stories to get to, everybody, and some local events we want to touch on first. Got a lot of great things going on here. But first off, at Civic Media, we've got something great going on. Statewide great. Mm-hmm. The Grown Up Gift List Text to Win Contest. Mm-hmm. By now, you have heard these contests enough. You know how this works. Yep. At the top of the 7 a.m., 11 a.m., 1 o'clock, and 4 o'clock hours, one of our DJs is going to give you a keyword. You text that word to us, and just like that, you can either win $100 cash or an overnight getaway to Chula Vista Resorts in beautiful Wisconsin yes. Dells.
Ooh. Giving away prizes every hour, everyone. Get in for your chance to win that.
Yeah, every one of those hours.
Yes, mm-hmm. that's right.
And that keyword is only good for the hour, so make sure to get it to us mm-hmm. during that hour. Mm-hmm. And, of course, all of this is done so that we can grab 8 grand prize winners mm-hmm. and let them choose randomly from our great list of adult-themed gifts.
That's right.
All right, we got a robot vacuum, humidifier, espresso machine, snowblower, luggage set, all kinds of cool stuff that can help you out.
I'm glad you listed
that. There's no microwave.
I'm glad, James, you listed with that because you said adult-themed gifts. And I'm like, oh, wait. Oh, well, wait, wait. What are we giving away here?
Seth, all weekend, I have been trying to figure out how to word this without it sounding like that. Because I don't feel like that we... I don't know if
that's
they
not what we're going for. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't feel like that was thought through. I don't know. The grown-up gift list context to win contest.
It was, so we could have fun with it.
That was part of what I was trying to do there, was have fun with it. Top of the 11 a.m., the 1 o'clock and 4 o'clock hours. Be listening for that, everybody. That keyword will be brought to you. Be listening for it. And thank you so much to everybody who has downloaded the app and is playing along with the contest. Mm-hmm. We have a great one lined up for you today with Midday Magazine. We kick off the week at 4 o'clock with Angie Horkum. She's going to be joining us from the Wisconsin Beef Council.
Oh, cool. Nice. Very nice.
Going to be always fun talking with Angie.
What's for dinner?
Talking beef, yeah. And in part two, we're talking a very merry bluegrass Christmas with Becky in the 48s. We're going to have Art Stevenson in studio.
Oh, ooh, very cool. Yeah.
Talking about this great show that is coming up to going to be at the Pittsfield School Auditorium on the 15th of this month.
Mm-hmm. We'll tell you Sunday.
Tell you more about that as we talk about it with Becky. Looking forward to it. And we got some other great things going on here in town, Seth.
Yes. Today, as a matter of fact, like every second Monday of the month from 6 to 7:30 p.m., there is a NAMI Portage/Wood County family support meeting at the United Methodist Church at 441 Garfield Avenue in Rapids. They ask that you please use the rear entrance. This meeting is open to anyone over the age of 18 who has a family member or friend suffering a mental illness. Of course, NAMI is the National Alliance on Mental Health, and they do this every second Monday of the month over at the United Methodist Church, 441 Garfield Avenue, from 6 to 7. So that is happening tonight.
Yes. And I want to remind everybody, the 8th Annual Christmas Tree Walk is going on with our Southwood County Historical Museum. Join them today from 12 to 4 for this wonderful walk and a wonderful time through the museum. And especially if you haven't been there in a while, say hi to Phil and the gang over there for us.
Yeah.
And meet our friends at the Southwood County Historical Museum today at noon for their 8th Annual Christmas Tree Walk. If you can't make it today, they'll be back on the 13th from 5 to 8, and then December 14th and 15th from 12 to 4. 11 rooms of holiday magic, free for all ages. Find out more at SWCH-museum.com.
Yes.
Some local concerts going on, Seth.
We do. We have one and tonight in Nakusa. The Nakusa High School and Alexander Middle School choirs are having their Christmas concert tonight at 6:30 in the Nakusa High School Auditorium. And then next Monday, the 16th, the Nakusa High School and Alexander Middle School bands are having their holiday concert. That one is at 7 p.m. also at the Nakusa High School Auditorium. And we have the Wisconsin Rapids Public Schools will also be having their high school concerts coming up next Monday and then Thursday, the 19th. We'll get more into those as we get closer.
Assumption Catholic School's grades 4 through 12 have a band concert tonight at Assumption High School Auditorium at 6:30 under the direction of Miss Molly Thomas. A shout out to her. Again, that grades 4 through 12 band concert happening at Assumption today at 6:30. Go ahead and check that out. Mm-hmm. We've got other great concerts coming up we're going to be telling you about. Like tomorrow, our friends over at Wisconsin Rapids Area Middle School have their holiday concert going on. 7th and 8th graders, band concert 6 o'clock at Rams. Mm-hmm. Meet Seth over there.
I'll be there. My son is going to be in there, so yes, I will be there.
I'm actually going to try to attend that one, too. I'm really hoping to. Yep. That's going to be a fun concert. Meet you there, everybody. A wonderful auditorium to hear shows, too, by the way. And I did want to mention, as we were talking about NAMI before, Gift of Hope, a NAMI night of fundraising is happening at the Rose House in Stevens Point tomorrow from 6:30 to 8:30. Join them for a festive evening of live music by the Rosewood Trio, who are amazing. Food and fundraising to support NAMI. Purchase tickets ahead of time if you'd like. You could do that by going to their website, NAMI.org. Or to Convantage.
I think it's Covantage Credit Union.
Covantage, CU.org. Covantage, CU.org. And help them keep this great work that they're doing running over there at NAMI. Mm-hmm. They do some great work. They were with us the other week, highlighting some of the great things that they're doing over there. Greatly appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Appreciate you being here tonight for Playmakers. We only got two this week.
That's right. We got hockey on Friday.
Yeah, Monday and Wednesday this week we'll be here for Playmakers. Join us from 5 to 6 for that.
You'll have nothing to talk about, James. Yeah, I mean, nothing happened over the weekend.
Oh, my God. There's so much to talk about. and, of course, every Tuesday and Thursday be here from 5 to to 6 for Community Stories with Melissa Kay.
Yes.
That's right. This week we have a special interview that I caught on Saturday from the state VFW Senior Vice Commander, Ty Leto.
Ooh.
And then also my interview with Rock Larson, who we all know very well.
Yes. Excellent.
Really looking forward to hearing
more. Learn more about Rock. Yeah.
I love you. I could listen to Rock all day. and I could listen to Melissa's shows all day. Mm-hmm. You can listen to him every Tuesday and Thursday from 5 to 6. Join us for Community Stories with Melissa Kay.
Mm-hmm.
And our great friends at Savor the Arts have Boogie and the Yo-Yos coming to town.
Boogie!
This Woo-hoo. Thursday at 7:30 at the Performing Arts Center, Wisconsin Rapids, Boogie and the Yo-Yo is going to be performing Christmas with you. They joined us recently. We had a great time talking with them. Wonderful, wonderful people. Get your tickets for this at SavorTheArts.com, SavorTheArts.com, or you can stop by their offices, or you can call up 715-424-2600 and win tickets right now.
Woo!
Whoa, awesome.
Call
up and dial in with the Civic Media app.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, and we'll be back with more show tomorrow, everybody.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.